Welcome to A Book Beyond Time and Book.
Books.
Books.
Today books, is the books. Longest chapter of books, a day books. Called Today.
Books.
Books. They'll fuck your mother.
Books.
Books.
The greatest adventure books, of books, all, books. Reading a book on your stomach.
Read like you'll die right here, right now.
Books.
Books, 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 books.
I hope I die getting my head closed in a big book.
Phew.
Get comfy. Wipe the sweat off your wet forehead.
Take off your shoes and put on your inside shoes.
Take off your stinky, stinky boots. Oh, what's that smell? It's you.
You've been clamming.
What do you mean by clamming?
Is that the one? Is there oystering or clam? What's when you walk around and you look for clams in the mud?
Shucking? No, shucking is when you cut.
That's later in the process.
When I worked. Yeah, that's sorry. That's down the line.
Sure.
I met a man who had a theory the shucking injury.
Oh.
It happened during Boston's big shuck off.
Sure.
Which is something you can yell at someone who cuts you off in traffic.
Yes.
And is also a race to shuck the most. And I think a lot of people have really cut their thumbies doing it.
It's people that just can't avoid the thrill of the race. If I'm going to be living fast, I might crash. Yeah.
Exactly. Especially while shucking.
Yes.
I don't know if it's called clamming. You're asking a deeply landlocked woman.
That's true.
I'm a daughter of the drought through and through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't have stuff.
I think the LA River is actually a river.
Yeah, you do think that, which is interesting. And every now and then it sort of is.
Yeah.
Sort of.
In the worst way.
Yeah.
In the way that you're like, oh yeah, I guess you can't really wash the world clean. Like now it's just full of filth.
Yes.
Okay, yeah,
this
yeah.
This is the best we're going to get, yeah.
Anyway, you've been clamming. You've been stomping in the bog.
Yes.
It's time to take your wet-ass shoes off. Wash your feet and dry them before you get any gangrene.
Stomp on the doormat, the inside and outside ones. It says
mm-hmm,
welcome.
The inside one, the outside one.
Both of them do.
Mm-hmm. Stomp on
outside
it.
Outside
one
says
like
welcome to inside.
The hospitality.
Inside one says welcome to outside, yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Mm. I touched my AirPods, my brand new AirPods. Because I've joined the 21st century.
Finally.
It set off just a chain reaction of things.
They want to be doing
but
stuff.
But anyway, yeah.
Even if you don't want to be doing them. But go on.
Oh boy, do they want to be helpers. Mm. They want to be helpers so bad. They kept pausing my music. It was fascinating.
Mm.
It really added some texture to Cowboy Carter that it did not need.
Sure. Probably made to be listened to as it was, yeah. Not with huge pauses,
because you brushed your hair back.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, anyway, I am pulsing with rage and energy because I had one cup of Lady Grey tea.
Wow.
Yeah,
tea makes you mad.
It's the cornflower petals in it that makes it furious.
That's too
yeah,
bad.
It's the little blue flecks of
wow.
flowers.
You put frosted flakes in your in your tea.
Oh, I wish ever do that.
Oh my god.
You ever put Cheerios in a cup of hot water and just watch it get worse?
I boil all my cereal. It's safer.
I bought my tea at H Mart, and as I was opening it today, it had this like, first it was like established in 1706, and I was like, I do not want to know your backstory.
Sure.
And then it was like something like, it wasn't quite like putting a sign over a trash can that's like complaints department, but it kind of was. It was like, if you have any questions, make an appointment with Queen Elizabeth II. And I was like, okay, so this tea is at least 2 years old.
Okay, yeah, that's a longer route to the just throwing out a complaint. Yeah, that's something at least.
Yeah, I don't know if like maybe the tea is recent and they just made a bunch of boxes in advance.
Yeah.
They just saw her and Prince Philip and were like, we've got it
we're
for
good.
Another decade.
Yeah, it could have been made in the 50s or whatever, and they're just like, I cannot believe how much we've gotten out of this box.
But, I mean, it is really good tea. I am jazzed.
Wow.
It's making me wonder what the fuck coffee was. Like, if this much tea can fuck me up. I was full of rage before this.
Interesting.
About nothing.
Sure.
And I was like, I gotta get rid of the rage. That's not Brad's vibe. And it was from one cup of tea.
I'd hate for you to be mad at the books.
I'm furious at the books.
You're karate chopping the books.
Actually, but right in the middle, so it just gives them a nice little part.
You instead of using a bookmark, you just karate chop where the page was, and then it usually will open to it there because that's what it remembers. Yeah, it's the trauma. The body remembers. The body keeps the score.
The bookie keeps the score. Because I wrote down a little
tally. My bookie keeps the score. Mm-hmm. Because I owe him money for gambling.
Yeah. Brad is deep.
I'm deep in, yeah. I always think I know who's going to win.
Brad is clit deep in the red.
Yes.
He always thinks daddy's getting a new pair of shoes. And he's daddy.
I'm pretty certain of it, yeah.
He's always breathing on and kissing the dice.
I've always thought that it's more important to like really want it the most in like a sports game or something. And apparently that's not true. Sometimes you just lose. And I've been betting a lot of underdogs. I've been betting on the Angels in the outfield. I've been betting on the Bad News Bears.
I've been betting on the Trumpeter Swan. I've been betting on orchestras.
You have been betting on orchestras.
Did you ever read that book?
No.
Oh, it's about a swan, and he starts playing the trumpet, and he gets body mod. Oh. So he gets one of his flappers cut, so it's not webbed, so that he can play the trumpet.
That's good.
And for the rest of his life, he can't swim.
Wow.
It's something.
It's interesting.
It is definitely something.
The swan?
Mm-hmm.
Do they need their wings that bad? I mean, they can fly, I guess.
Well, no, it's his little webbed feet.
Oh,
it's his little webbed feet that he fucks up. So he can't swim.
I'm sorry. How is he holding it? He's sitting and his feet are holding the trumpet. Is that right? His wings aren't doing nothing.
Well, I think he's holding it with one wing, and then his foot is giving us the magic.
Okay, yeah. I think you need a tongue and lips, probably.
It was never my favorite.
Sure,
book.
No. You've never brought
Definitely
it into
lips.
This, so obviously. Yeah, you don't like it that much.
No, it was my brother was a saxophonist, so they were like, Sammy, you love this. And I was like, can we get back to the book where the dog owns a nightclub?
Yeah, that's better.
That was sick. That was magical realism.
I would also say, from what I've seen swans do, they're not like going that far, are they? They're just kind of floating around. And I think if I used my feet to do it, if a swan had, like, human feet, I still think it'd be able to get some movement, you know?
I hate that.
I know, I'm not happy about it either. I just want to think about it.
I see what you're saying, but I think it's like having one broken oar, and so he can only go in circles.
Oh, he's
I don't
got
know
only
how he
one.
Figured that
I see.
Out.
I think...
Well, unless he got both, but then I think he's still... Then they don't act as oars.
I would also say that...
If none of them are webbed.
From the speed that swans are usually working with, I think he could just run and then jump into the water and just, like, coast. You know what I mean? Like, one of those toys.
See, to me, what it was is I don't... Swans are so not people-pleasers that I don't see them getting into the arts.
Yeah, that's
which I
true.
Mean, I'm not saying that like a sole reason to get into the arts is to make others happy. You never will. They never will be. You'll always do something wrong.
I could see them wanting to be the best and shove it in people's faces, but yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I just don't think swans have like the empathy, and not because they're birds, because they're mean birds.
I think if like a goose started playing like a trombone, I could see him being like, I can beat that.
Yeah, I could see swans joining music out of spite. Out of envy, yeah. I don't see them doing it out of passion.
No, I don't think they work on their art. I don't think they put in their 10,000 hours. I don't think they practice.
Oh, no.
No way.
What do you think an eagle would play? An American eagle?
Don't
say the bugle.
Okay, then I have to
Unless you mean the chips.
I do mean the chips. I want to see him put them on each of his little talons like a witch.
I did that in class. I felt really cheap for breaking it out this early.
To be clear,
talking about something real.
You you were the teacher. This isn't a long ago story. This happened this week.
Oh, this happened this week.
Many of us have done it in class.
School.
Not many of us standing at the front of the class.
Well, so we had 10 minutes left, and we had already done my exercise, and the kids were getting rowdy. Mm-hmm. And so I told Adrian G, who's the one who's not a liar, Adrian F is a liar, I told Adrian G, he was like, I'm good at origami, and I was like, prove it. Mm. And he was like, look, I made a claw. And I was like, I'm going to wear that. How about you make me 9 more claws? Mm. And all the kids thought I couldn't hold a pencil with my claws on, and guess what? I could.
Wow, that's cool. That's the kind of off-the-railsness that I'd really appreciate in a class, yeah. It's not like against the rules or anything, but it's just like, oh cool, yeah, we're doing this now. No. Right,
it's certainly not helpful.
Yeah.
No. To have a 28-year-old woman waggle her claws in front of your child's
yeah
face, it's not uneducating them, but it is an education.
No, they're not losing stuff. Yeah, I don't think so, unless you accidentally scratch them.
I don't think I shaved any IQ points off. But, no. So I have, like, the little, they give me a box for all our supplies, and it's all, like, the journals and pencils, and then 10 claws. Although, frankly, Adrian's mom picked him up, and the last two or three were done by another girl who I adore.
Sure.
But her claw making, it's not the same.
Yeah.
It was not the same.
You'd use two of them as thumbs, maybe, so that they're different, but one would be bad. Yeah.
That's a good point. And when Adrian was like, what am I going to do after I'm done with this? I was like, you're going to make them for my toes.
I don't want this to happen. But I do, down the line, I think it'd be interesting to see what it would look like if you got fired and you had to put all your things in a cardboard box. Because I think it'd
and
be
just
a very quirky cardboard box. I think there'd be slinkies in there. I think there'd be...
I think there'd be the little origami hat. I think yes. There'd be a lot of little boat hats.
Yeah, a lot of those. There'd be, like, erasers made into cars. There'd be...
a lot of, like, little wire people, pipe cleaner
yes.
guys.
Yes. Tremendous amount of those guys. Yeah. There'd be
just a town of them.
Yeah. Paper chains. There'd be just paper clips connected into
chains. But the paper
chains
have been like used for shackles.
Yes. Paper handcuffs. Yeah.
Only to arrest me. Only
Very
to
honor
arrest
system
me.
For handcuffs. Yeah.
No, I think the day I get fired will be a hilarious day.
I think it's going to be, you're going to keep dropping stuff. You're going to drop a banana peel and you're going to slip on it. And yeah, it's going to be a very cool walkout.
Miss Ramos found an open chocolate milk in one of the desks and it turned green.
Oh. Wow, that's really fighting against the chocolate. Wow.
Everything. I know. And I felt like, wow, book fair has become my entire Wednesday.
Yeah. Wow. That's really beautiful.
In a way.
Yeah. In a way.
So I've been plunged into the past and yet it is the present.
Yeah.
Just by virtue of being in one of these buildings. But now I'm in charge, which is truly... the animals have become the zookeepers.
Truly, yeah.
And the zookeepers are locked inside.
It's very Mr. Potpourri of you.
Yes, Mr. Potpourri, the famous substitute teacher who would lie his way into positions of power.
Mm-hmm. Also a monkey.
On that note, can we do your book?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. So I have been revisiting a series that we talked about recently off mic a little bit. The Magic Bee's House series by Marley Pop Otter Pop.
I thought it was a fever dream you had, and then I looked it up in the Scholastic. I did a... what is it when you demand files, Freedom of Information Act?
Yes, 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 yes. And a lot of them
I
were redacted.
I sent those to HarperCollins.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of it was redacted.
Yeah.
I had to do a lot of guesswork. But you were right. You weren't lying to me. I thought you were pulling my leg.
Totally.
Because
I mean,
you were literally.
I was surprised too. I was. You were trying to run away and I wanted to, keep arguing. Yes, I think... I mean, to get ahead of it, there have been accusations that this is a ripoff of the Magic Treehouse series by Mary Pope Osborne. Mm. But I'm going to read the disclaimer and that is at the beginning of all of her books. There are those who have compared my work and name and haircut to Mary Pope Osborne of the Magic Treehouse series. And every time I say, who is that? I've never heard of her. I say that every single time. And then I say, oh, wait, no, I do know her actually. And I bet it's her who's copying me. The Bee's House is not like a tree house. It sounds way different, and it isn't spelled even close to the same. The Bee's House is where the bees live and go to sleep. It's like a beehive, but with a door, but still no windows. They come home from work, and they go to bed in the Bee's House, except the ones who work remotely from home. They're already there. The kids go in the Bee's House, and the outside is small, but the inside is big because of the magic. So they fit in when they're there, but getting in is like squeezing yourself through a big funnel. Does that make sense? Anyway... I got to get out of here. Big ups to the real ones. And that is printed on the cover of every one of her books.
The cover. Okay, I thought that this was like, you know how on like the second page, there'll be the legal statement. And I was going to say, I love a personalized legal statement.
That is cool. It's on the cover. It's in the legal statement. It's also the dedication.
Wow. So the cover is ugly.
It's busy. I think it's busy. Yeah. But it it still has, the two kids going on an adventure.
In addition to that very long statement.
Yes. It's written small, but it is in the middle, so it's hard to it's hard to avoid it.
Okay. Okay. So you can judge the book by its cover.
You should. It's asking you to. It's, yeah, but it's only because people did so much before that they had to kind of judge it in a different way, ideally. Mm. Another similarity, and there's not that many, I would say, but another similarity is that all of the books do take place at different times of day, like the Magic Treehouse books. There's, of course, you know, dinosaurs before dawn or whatever, and like, you know,
pirates at 2 o'clock.
Yeah. Exactly. So there's...
It's 5 o'clock somewhere in space, yeah.
That is one of the Bee's House, actually. That's crazy. Yeah, 5 o'clock somewhere is the third in the series. Just 5 o'clock somewhere.
Where is it 5 o'clock?
I don't remember. It doesn't... That one's vague.
That is what I love about them, is they definitely seem scribbled. They seem scribbled. They seem jotted down.
They're the only handwritten books I think I've ever read.
Ever read. I know. Mm-hmm. I think it was Noam Chomsky defending children's literacy. Mm. And he was antagonizing the author because he had read that it was always 5 o'clock in the Bee's House. And he really didn't appreciate that it was always quitting time always in the Bee's House. Time. He thought that really sent out a bad message.
You are slightly misremembering. I think it was Chomp Gnomsky that said that. He's short and he has a pointy beard.
He was eating the whole time.
He's eating and he
always
lives on a lawn.
And he's always eating pizza. Yeah.
He is always eating pizza. It's his main thing.
He's always burning his mouth on the pizza, but he blames it on the reporter, which is very strange.
By the time he's halfway through the pizza, he's like, this is too cold, and he heats it back up, then he burns himself again. It's like, you're putting it in for too long, though. I'm so sorry, Chomp. We've all made that mistake.
Chomp Gnomsky. Well, Chomp Gnomsky, the thing about him that's fascinating is he lives in a little cave under my lawn, but he has one of those, like, fire ovens for pizza.
Yes.
And so he's always popping it in like it's a microwave, but it's actually a raging hearth.
It's way too hot. And it's in a cave, so like the whole cave is pretty hot. He's always like in his boxers down there because he needs to not have it always be.
That's actually one of my least favorite things about Chomp Gnomsky is he is always in his boxers.
Always.
Sometimes if he wears pants, he'll wear belted khakis, no shirt.
Yes. Yeah. Which
a
is
a la
like
an old man on a beautiful day.
Yes. And he does have a gray beard, but he's pretty young, I think, which is, it's just not.
Very young.
He's still growing. That's why he's so short.
Very young. He tells me that all the time. Every time I go to check the goddamn mailbox, there's Chomp telling me, you know, just because you're a woman and you're taller than me, like, I'm going to be taller. And I was like, I don't care, dude. You know?
Yeah, it does.
So I
affect,
hit puberty before you.
Yeah.
Come on. I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chomp has been giving me a bit of a hard time. Just
I think you should stop quoting him.
Cave.
Yeah, I think you're giving him too much.
He's just always on Fox defending education.
He is.
Yeah, you're right. I'm enabling Chomp.
He's calling in from his sweaty cave, yelling at Tucker.
I tried to make s'mores with him once in his sweaty cave, and they sizzled to a crisp.
You walked in, and they all the marshmallows turned black and caught on fire. And you're like, this isn't supposed to happen this fast.
And what's frustrating about his subterranean pizza hearth is it's always setting off the smoke alarms in my house.
Yeah.
Because his chimney is just our ventilation.
Yeah.
He doesn't have his own chimney.
He's got so many entrances and exits of his cave system. One of them is your mailbox.
One of them is my mailbox. He's always coming. And he never picks up the coupons and puts them back in.
Yeah.
Because he's short, but he's not shorter than a mailbox.
No, he's climbing out of a mailbox.
I built a birdhouse, and I really thought that it being above the ground would mean Chomp couldn't use it as an exit, but he somehow hollowed out the pole it was on, and now it's become
his
garage.
He's got a really nice car, though.
Oh, well, he has a Ferrari.
He does
have
a tiny Ferrari.
And so I do understand.
Yeah.
He has a tiny Ferrari.
I saw him and Stuart Little get a drag race.
Yeah, that's him. That's him.
Mm-hmm.
There's that busty lady who, like, does the checkered flag.
Oh, my
and
God.
You see Chomp there ogling her, but then he drives
off. Oh, my God. He's freaking...
Yeah, the horsepower on that thing's insane.
Oh, my God. He's so fast.
He asks her to bite at this chomp, but
he begs
it's a children's movie.
Yeah.
He begs her to bite him. Yeah, that's his thing. And I really hate it. He has many kinks, and I hate all of them.
He does have a lot of kinks, yeah. And he makes it our problem. It's not, you know, we're not trying to...
He really makes it my problem.
Yeah.
What were we talking about before Chomp came up?
Yeah, so
some
of the books... In the Magic Bee's House series include, yes, obviously 5 o'clock somewhere is one.
Please.
Amelia Earhart in the Afternoon-ish. Goodnight God. Saturdays are for the boys.
Okay, that one I can see being controversial. Okay, yes. Both I can see being controversial.
All of them are controversial.
Are Sundays for girls?
I don't know. She does not talk a lot about girls in her. I was shocked that Amelia Earhart made it in. But I think it was just to prove that women shouldn't be doing that.
Oh, okay. Does she find the body, or
are we just
talking about Amelia?
They go back in time, they meet Amelia Earhart, they try to stop her, and she say, no, I can do this. And then, unfortunately, yeah, they are proven right, and that affects how they feel about a lot of stuff, actually. Yeah.
About women being pilots. Your mom must have hated that book.
My mom did. It's what inspired her to be a co-pilot, but still, yeah. Yeah, good for her. Yeah. She rips it up.
But that's brutal.
My mom burned that book, which felt weird at the time, but it was the only book she ever burned, so I think that's fine.
She burned that one and Mein Kampf.
She did. And that was, I think, totally fine.
Is it true that Chomsky proposed to your mother and she laughed in his face?
Okay, I really don't want to talk about this again. Yes, they weren't even dating. They were like friends of friends.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but he says that when the heart knows, it's certain. And yeah, he gave her, yes, he gave her a very, I don't want to like blame this, but the ring was very small, even for him. He said he got it from a cupcake, which I believe it was plastic. It looked like an eye. I think it was like a Halloween cupcake. Yeah.
He was pretty drunk and he admitted to me it was a toe ring from a cupcake.
Oh, wow. That's even smaller than, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It's gross to have a toe ring in a cupcake, but I guess it's only if it's used, which it almost never is. So that's fine.
It was.
Oh, so it is gross. Yeah, then it was gross.
It had been placed while in the toe, and he picked it up with his toe.
So there's a toe imprint of it. Yeah. Then he ate that cupcake.
It was in People magazine as the worst promotion to be caught on a Jumbotron.
Wow.
The worst proposal to be caught on a
proposal,
Jumbotron.
Yes. Well, it was also a promotion for his business. So that was kind of, he thought this will be a beautiful moment, and people want to go to my pizza restaurant.
And it'll make me buku bucks.
Yes, he said that. He asked if my mom would make buku bucks with him for the rest of their lives.
If she would make him the richest man, richest little man in the world.
And I think
in
part of
big, big world.
Part of why she laughed in his face, but I don't think she had heard the term buku bucks before, so it wasn't like that cruel. It was just,
I hadn't either.
It was funny.
No,
it was
funny.
It's a
funny way to put it.
Yeah, people booed him.
It's a weird way to put it.
Yeah, they threw batteries at him and stuff. It was really tough.
I heard they brought the batteries because they knew he was coming.
They did, yeah. And they were fresh batteries. They took them out of remotes to throw them.
Absolutely. They had so much juice left in them. Orange juice, actually.
Yeah, delicious, delicious battery orange juice.
Little shots of delicious, delicious orange juice.
It was a promotion at the ballpark that day. It was that you can suck orange juice out of a battery, but unfortunately they chucked it at Tom.
Anyway, that's not even how Brad and I know each other.
Just no, it's crazy.
My underground neighbor, was his mother's email acquaintance.
Yeah.
I'm wrong. Yeah. That's not even how we met, which is crazy.
It was just like promotional emails for his restaurant. She responded to them to say, stop sending me these. And he says, do you want to go to a ballpark
sometime? She was on his
sometime?
Newsletter.
Yes.
Yeah. She joined his newsletter and she emailed back, stop. And that was the first response he had gotten. So he was like, I think she's in.
I would say we're really ragging on Chomp. It's worth reading his newsletter just to see what he thinks about things. Like it's not good or bad. It's just it's interesting.
It is interesting. It's a new perspective. I'll give you that.
Yes.
Breath of really smoky air.
Yes, it's a very underground perspective. Underground smoke.
It's a breath of wet air.
It is a breath of soaking wet air.
Were there any other sequels you wanted to
there
show?
There were
the
two more.
Of?
There was, there were three more. There was Daytime with David Schwimmer. There was Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. And there was Monday with the Person, which feels lazy.
Okay.
Even for her. Yeah.
Okay.
Are you interested in that
one? Tea Time. Oh, no, I'm not interested. Sure. I mean, I kind of want to know who the person is. Isn't the person Nixon?
It is, yes. And I guess she thought that'd be too controversial to put on the cover, but I don't think it would. We're kind of over him. It could have been Nighttime with Nixon, but no, it was Monday with the Nixon is what it would have been.
More controversial. I had read, I forgot about this till we were talking about it. I had read Tea Time on the Titanic, parentheses, right before everything went down.
Yes, that one was very specific. And it seemed like the kids that traveled back in time caused it, maybe. They kept being
why? Because they kicked a hole in the hull? Yeah.
What I will also say is, much like the Magic Treehouse books, again, this is just one more similarity, also have, like, the companion books that are, like, real facts about, like, you know, how there was, like, the dinosaur right. book that went with the dinosaur's story.
The Amelia Earhart fact book is just, she should have never done that. But yeah,
yeah, all the facts are wrong. A lot of them. Mm. Like, I don't think the Titanic sank from having a hole kicked in the side. The David Schwimmer fact book is not any of right. his roles.
Right, that he died swimming.
He did die swimming, unfortunately. Yeah, he got swimmer's cramp.
Because he ate, and then he went, he shit, and then he went swimming.
He but did, I don't, yes.
I think that's an untruth.
I think so. I don't remember that, at least. Yeah, I guess they're parodies of fact books, but it's not clear enough, the satire, I guess.
Did you ever read Heaven at Half Past Two, where the kids die? Briefly. Yes.
There's a lot where they go to heaven because there's the God one. There's dying at sundown.
There's Hell is for Tall Girls.
There's Hell is for Tall
where
Girls.
Where she really goes off on women over 5'7".
Yeah, like that's not even, I wouldn't say that tall, and she hates
it's
that.
It's not that tall.
No.
She really hated it. She was like, why don't you hunt?
They die on the Titanic also. I think they might die in most of the books.
It's interesting. She never really addresses... Yeah. Are they coming back to life? Are they reborn? Are there just mistakes in these books? Which I think is that's kind of the ambivalence of her books. You know, that's the ambiguity. Are these kids dying every time, or is she just not paying attention?
She's so certain that they didn't die in the last book, but she never goes back to check. It's interesting, and we have to admit that. It's not what you get with most books, the kids dying every time. Like, and begging for their lives, and then...
Graphic. It's really horrible. And you really... When they beg for their lives, they're really broken down to their most base selves, you know, where I think, what's the sister's name? Penelope?
Yes.
Oh, Penelope.
Penelope.
Penelope
yes.
offers up her brother in sacrifice if she can just be saved.
Yeah, they turn on each other fast. Yeah.
Like that. Did you ever read Siesta in Sicily?
Which is not right, but yeah.
But, and they die in their sleep while they're taking their siesta.
At the very beginning of the book.
And you would think it would be peaceful.
Yeah.
But it's horrific.
It's awful. Yeah, they drown in their sleep. I forget how. It's that thing where, they can't move, but they are experiencing all of it. Yeah.
Yeah, she writes a lot of books about sleep paralysis for children. And I don't know if it's what children need to be exposed to, but it is what they're being exposed to.
It's a different kind of thing that you're going to get from... not to mention it again, but the Magic Treehouse books or any other books that I'm aware of for children or adults. Yeah.
Did you ever read TMJ at 3 o'clock when she talks about muscle pain?
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's 3 o'clock. I forget if it's AM or PM, but...
It's AM because they're woken up by the pain.
That's right. Yeah. Don't think they ever get a full night's sleep in any of the books either. They're always so drowsy and then they die.
It's why they're so stunted. Yeah, and then they die.
They do die as well.
It's arguably why their lives are so bad, is they never get a full night's sleep. They have so many adventures. Some of which, what is it? I think it's... Movie Nights with Mao. That I felt very odd about, even as a little girl.
That I could feel. There's something off here.
It was very palpable. Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't like the movies.
Hates them.
And I don't get his criticism. Yeah, it's not like... He thinks a lot of them are too long, but they're 90 minutes, some of them. Like, it's what did you expect? He watched the freaking Bugs Bunny cartoon before the movie, and he's like, this is taking forever. And it's like, well, that's it's 7 minutes.
And he says, rapido, rapido. And you're like, wait, Mao is Spanish? I feel like I'm learning something that's not true.
Yeah, I guess, it's one of those things I thought was true until just now. Yeah.
Well, she has Caesar speak in French when he goes, baguette, ha, ha, ha. And that was really confusing to me as a child.
Yes.
But I did think it was right for a long time.
And I don't think that was even a baguette that he was pointing at. I think it could have been a baguette. It's just so much of it is unclear in the
prose. Well, it was really off in the distance. And the main characters had their glasses off because they had been woken up in the middle of the night and they didn't have time to prepare.
The kids were shaken awake. They found themselves in ancient Rome. Caesar walks over. He points at something they can barely see on the horizon. He says, ha ha ha, baguette. And then he leaves. And then they follow him to the Senate and they get killed, I think, by Brutus. I forget. I don't know why. Well, because they shouldn't be
stabbed.
There. They get stabbed.
It's sort of like a Forrest Gump that ends very quickly.
It's like if Forrest Gump died every time you met anyone from the past, yeah. Which I would watch. Mm-hmm. I would watch that. Yeah.
I would gladly watch that. What was it? It was Losers with Lewis and Clark. And Sacagawea comes up and says, "Ni hao, suckers." And I was so confused.
She bops him on the nose. Yeah. Sacagawea is mean. Yeah.
He's mean, and I like it.
She's so mean. She is sassy. She keeps getting lost. And Lewis is like, "No, I think it's that way." And she's like, "Believe me, I know which way I'm going." And
she's like, "Ni hao, suckers. We know what's up."
Yeah.
No.
She says that a lot. No, she's never been there.
Yeah.
No.
It's very weird that her catchphrase is Chinese, but
yeah.
I don't know. I just kind of trusted it as a little girl.
Yeah, I didn't know why it wouldn't be right, but it's just not. And there's no reason for it.
I really like when Sacagawea flips off Lewis and Clark.
Yeah, but they weren't like doing anything. It was really out of nowhere. It was so girl bossy of how she just totally flew off the handle for no reason. Yeah.
Yeah. Her erratic anger was very girl boss.
I think, well, because she was pregnant with some of it. Yeah.
Yeah, for most of it. Yeah. Yeah. Which,
for too long.
She is pregnant for too long. I think it's like 12 months. 4 years.
12 months, yeah.
4 years or 12 months.
Yeah,
Much like a whale. It's one of those.
It's one of
those. Yeah, she's either pregnant for a whole high school experience or a calendar year. I don't quite... I read them a while ago, to be frank.
It's been a while, yeah.
I hate to bring it up, but the most controversial one. Hats off to Hitler. Where he
gets
set design in a musical.
Yes.
What did you think of that one? Sorry to put you on the spot.
I don't want to defend this one. I think that it obviously gets a lot of... I mean, obviously my mom tried to burn it.
Oh,
obviously.
Yeah, of course.
It fits in the only two
books.
She's
a good mother.
She'd burned previously.
Yeah.
I think that the hats off sounds very positive. I would say the book is very positive about him, but... I will at least say that they are just taking their hats off because he asked them to, and because it seemed like he was going to freak out if they didn't.
And because the theater has a really low ceiling backstage.
It was cool, I guess, and I guess I'm realizing now this wasn't true, but what I learned from the book was that the theater they were in was designed exactly to be Hitler's height, so if anyone was taller than him, they'd have to take their hats off, they were going to bonk their heads. And
yeah.
I think that's a very interesting idea.
A mind trick he played on America, on Russia,
making people think, "Oh, I'm too tall." Leaders. Yeah, he's not short. Yeah,
yeah. I hate to bring the conversation back. Yeah,
totally.
To Chomp.
Sure.
Chomp visited it long after.
So it is real. Okay, so that's the one thing that's true. That's cool.
It's a tiny ass theater, and Chomp visited it, and he said it was too tall, and he said he saw a rendition of Cats there, and I said, "Who was in the cast?" And he said, "Just me." And I said, "I think you're telling me you sang Memories alone in an empty, tiny theater."
Yeah. It's such a weird thing to lie about, but he was so exaggerating what happened there at Hitler's theater.
He's always lying about seeing Cats.
I don't know who he thinks. He's just, I don't know. It's frustrating that I know
Who's
I can't.
Who's this for?
Yeah, like, I'm not, oh, cool, you saw Cats. Like, anyone can do that.
Yeah, what am I going to do with that, buddy?
It's almost more interesting to have sang it yourself. I don't know.
It's all a dead end. It's all a dead end.
Because you're talking to him and you're like, I don't know, I'm just going to end up mad about this. And I know I'm not going to change his mind. But I'm
begging
him.
It was really rough that one time you met Chomp and he winked at you and said, "I could have been your daddy." And I just wanted to apologize. That was disgusting.
That was tough. Yeah. Cause that was the first I had heard about
it. If things had been a little different, I could have been playing catch with you all day long, by door.
It was worse at first, not knowing the story, but having heard it, it was things would have to be extremely different for him to have been my daddy. He
deeply different. Yeah. No, if anything, much like Cats, he made it seem like something it wasn't.
And it was like, it was the right place and the right time, but like, that's it. He would have to be an extremely different kind of guy.
He was the wrong person.
Wrong person.
He did the wrong thing.
Yes.
Yeah, he really just, your mom responded to his newsletter asking him to stop, unsubscribe. Yes. She should have clicked unsubscribe, but we all
she
make should've. Mistakes.
Yeah.
These things happen. And that was disgusting.
Because I can't tell
particularly chauvinistic of him.
She was trying to unsubscribe by saying stop in all caps, or she was suggesting that just like in general, he just like stop. But he really took that as a a green light. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry you have to live above him. He just seems difficult.
I know. He is. And honestly, I'd rather live over a continental divide that could at any moment burst forth magma. That would be easier than having him. And it's also just like, you know, it's my parents' house. And when you buy a house, I don't think you expect to have downstairs neighbors.
No.
Let alone
on the ground.
A little gnome. A furious, horny little gnome.
Because you have a basement even, and he's below that.
Mm-hmm. He's below the basement.
And he's always hitting it with a broom and saying, quiet down.
Yeah. Usually when we're asleep. That's the bitch of it.
He could hear you breathe.
Oh, he's always saying that. He's always saying that. I can hear you breathe, Rachel. I can hear you breathe. Okay, well, I can hear you talking, Chomp. And if you could stop, that would be great.
Well, he's always trying to pretend that he has people over.
Oh, you're telling me. The voices he does so that we think he's having a little dinner party. He does this British accent, so we think he has friends. I don't care, Chomp. You can be Chomp. A solitary gnome.
It's totally fine. Chomp.
Yeah. And I just worry someday we'll have above ground neighbors, you know?
Yeah.
Like some birds that won't shut up or something. So it just,
that's really hard.
Troubling. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. He also demands we flush his mail down the toilet so he can get it. Oh. I really don't enjoy doing that.
That's too bad that I guess he's in a situation where anything that flushes down your toilet goes to his house, and the only thing he wants to change is that he wants his mail.
His mail via
that. That sucks. Yeah.
So honestly, this whole week, I've been shoving JCPenney coupons down the toilet.
You're really accommodating him. I will say, his house... And exits to your mailbox. I think he's not doing the bare minimum and popping his head out of the mailbox to grab the mail. I don't know. I don't want to assume. I don't know.
It's not a great... I know. We're not going to fix this tonight, you know? Are we going to fix this in this conversation? No.
No. Yeah, I don't know. It's a waste of everyone's time.
So was it enjoyable reading these books?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Good. It was a nostalgic blast from the past.
Yeah, because it's double nostalgic, because I mix it up with the regular ones, and then I remember this, and I was like, I'm realizing none of this is true, and that was cool, too. Except the Hitler thing.
Yeah, that is pretty exciting, actually.
It was cool to learn.
I remember when she first came under fire that she was like, then just read it with an encyclopedia next to you and fact-check everything I say, and then I'll have taught you how to be, you know, a conscientious consumer.
Yeah.
And I've taught you critical thinking by lying to you. And that was actually the number one line spouted by stepfathers that year was, I've made you a critical thinker by lying to you. So she had a huge impact in the stepdad realm. Yeah, it was Stepdad magazine.
Ranked. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They said best ways to get that kid off your case when you forget to pick him up.
Yeah.
And that was the number one line. And that was huge.
That was a big deal for them. And when I see someone that has, like, all these issues of Stepdad magazine, they're like, I just read it for the article. It's like, okay, yeah, no, you're horny for the schlubs. You just want to see these dads doing their best.
And it's not a very good best.
No.
You want to see them doing their best, and it's not enough.
Yeah.
I have been accusing so many people of being horny for the schlubs. It's like, just say you're into Pete and
admit
Jim
it.
And
admit
Scott.
It.
Just admit
Socks
it.
Socks and sandals and sweatpants, yeah.
Totally. With a Q-tip they forgot in their ear. And so much ear hair.
So much.
With no break in their head hair to their neck hair. And it's cool.
Yeah.
Just say you're horny for the schlubs.
I think it's very brave of us to be the only podcast that's vocally anti-stepdad. I think whoever is the dad that stepped up, step on back down, because you are a waste.
Take a big old step back, you know?
Yeah,
How about you stay mom's
what
boyfriend?
Are you doing?
How about you stay a fling?
Yes. I'm going to call you Alan.
Why do you have to make it so serious? It doesn't matter what you have on a little piece of paper. I'm calling you Alan.
No.
With
I'm
one
not.
L. And I know it's not spelled like that, and I don't care.
It's got three.
No. No. Yeah, I'm going to say it with three. So can I tell you about my book?
I would love for you to.
It's an early reader book. The book is called When I Am President, Everything Will Have Captions by Giovanni Pumpkins.
Wow.
Giovanni Pumpkins, of course, wrote books solely for, I think, 25-month-olds to 40-month-olds. And if you were 42 months, the book would safely disintegrate in your hands.
Sure. And you read it.
Mm-hmm. Well, quickly. I read it over the shoulder of a 30-month-old.
That's smart. Mm-hmm. That doughy little shoulder. Yes.
The ooey gooey little shoulder of a tot. Of a stinking tot. Yeah. So here's what happened. I party crashed bedtime.
Okay.
I said, it's not weird. It's for my podcast.
That's fair. Yeah.
You're so not supposed to.
Will not believe how much that podcast line works.
Yeah. Yeah. So I shimmy my way into my neighbor's house, right? Because they've got like 7 kids.
Yeah.
And I just plunk my bottom down for story time. I say, NBD. I don't, I'm not here for bath time. I'm not creepy.
No.
I'm just
here
for story time.
No. Yeah.
They did get mad at me because I fell asleep like 5 times, but I told them to keep reading.
Yeah.
I would not accept that I was sleepy. And I got really angry. I got really defensive when they brought that.
Yeah, that's fair.
I said, I'm not sleepy.
You're not sleepy.
And they said, you had a big day, Rachel. Like, you walked like 5 miles. And I said, I'm not sleepy. And they're like, it's okay.
You were just resting your eyes. Yeah. It's a normal thing everyone does.
I told them that. I was resting my eyes. And they no one believed me just because I was snoring. And I was like, how do you know I'm not just like a puggy? I breathe like a pug, okay? My asthma. Yeah.
When I breathe regular.
It sounds awful, okay? Because I have asthma. A
feather that moves up and down. Yeah. And I go, me, me, me.
Yeah, me. Oh, sure. And I have a really small nostril, like a French bulldog. So when I breathe normal, it sounds wet. And no one believed me. But anyway.
So wet.
So yeah, so I completely party crashed bedtime and it was sick as hell. Mm-hmm. I forgot how much I love this book, but boy, do I love it. It's about a little girl whose older brother is a mumbler because he's a teen.
Of course.
And he also has swoopy bangs over one of his eyes. And so first she's like, you know, I can never tell if my brother's winking at me. I just don't know if he's if he's being, you know, avuncularly playful or not.
Every blink.
And then she
wink,
goes on. That's the first sign. Every blink could be a wink when your bangs cover your eyes. And then she also has a teacher who's Cockney and just has a cartoonish accent. And so that's really where her wish for everything, real life to have captions comes
from.
That's
right.
And so let me just, if I could read the first page.
Of course,
every blink can be a wink when your big brother has huge bangs. Also, if I were president, I guess it would be a big deal because I'm a little girl. But more important, everything would have captions.
Yes. Okay. A couple of thoughts, kind of unconnected there, but that's what these books are like. You just got to get
stuff
out.
Bit of a word
out.
Salad. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that really is, I think, the glory of Giovanni Pumpkins, is he does write it like a child who is just looking at different things.
Who's just
you know?
Oh, and this also,
he's very distracted. Totally. And honestly, could be misdiagnosed with ADD, but it's really just a child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. They did it too early. They did gave him the test when they were a baby.
So she goes on to say, if I were president, even babies would have captions. When they cry, you could see it. Wah, wah, wah. Because I honestly don't know what they're saying.
And yeah, because I'm always like, what are babies going on about? And then I read the captions and I'm like, oh, it was nothing. It wasn't even anything.
Oh, nothing.
So
this whole time.
Yeah. And what are you even talking about? Why do you want my attention so bad?
Totally. Mostly she lambasts the British accent. It really is... Sure. About what are those UKers even saying?
Yeah.
And it's surprising how many Cockney school teachers this presumably American little girl has.
Yeah.
And she can't understand a word out of any of them.
I don't want to... We've come out pretty hard against stepdads and Scandinavians in the past.
Scandinavians. I know. We are drawing a lot of lines in the sand. And I will say it. The book is playfully xenophobic.
Totally.
It is playfully xenophobic.
I don't.
But it's about Britain, so I think it's okay.
I don't know that you should hire Cockney people to teach children how to talk. Is it? I don't think we need more rhyming slang. I don't think that's helpful. I think that's very A to D.
No.
And I think that, I think they could do math. Maths, as they're obsessed with calling it.
I think they can do maths. Yeah. Algebras, as I like to say.
Geometries.
Algebras. The numbies. The numby pumbies. But I just don't know why they're teaching these elocution classes in this world where this little girl lives, which is apparently Michigan. They're very specific about that. This is in the thumb of Michigan.
Cool. Cool.
That's which is why there's so many Cockney teachers, is there's a dearth of teachers. Mm. And it ends on being like, honestly, I would take a Canadian. Wow. Which is, yeah, it's just playfully xenophobic when she
they don't
talks
say
about,
why.
I would take a Quebecois.
A Canadian would be bad, yeah. But that's, yeah, that's interesting.
But they'd be slightly better than a Cockney.
I mean, they're covered in soot from all the chimneys they're sweeping, and it's, I don't think it's safe. These kids are secondhand smoking, essentially.
Well, so that they talk about that. Okay. She's like, honestly, I wish my coughs had captions because they're getting worse.
Oh, she wants to see. Because like, I guess it wouldn't be like, it wouldn't spell out the coughs. It would be like, in parentheses, you know, coughs fatally, and you would know that you're dying, or like coughs.
Right, exactly. Lightly, or it'd be like wet cough, or like wet hacking cough.
Yeah.
Or cough that's not really anything to worry about.
If you could see your captions in the mirror, that'd be nice. You'd have to read them backwards, but I think you'd get used to it.
Exactly. So that's what she says. She says, this is page 7. I'm better at mirror reading than I am at understanding what people say without captions.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes total sense. Yeah. I think I am on board with this as well, the more I think about it. Because just all the Cockney people I have to deal with day to day.
And then on the next page, she says, what's that? What do you think of what I'm saying? I can't hear you. You didn't write it down. And that is a fascinating defense of, I don't know, the written word, of literacy. It really is a defense where no one asked for it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. It's...
And Giovanni Pumpkins, I'm so sorry, yes, please.
No, please, please go on. I want to hear about Giovanni Pumpkins.
Oh, I just remember during Giovanni Pumpkins' presidential run, incredibly ill-fated presidential run.
Deeply
where
ill-fated.
Where he literally did a marathon.
He ran.
To 50 states. And he was out of breath for all of it.
When he ran to Alaska, I was like, okay, that's going to be an issue. But when he ran to Hawaii, I mean, I guess he was on a treadmill paddleboard, I guess, or what was it? Yeah.
So I read this in Pencils Down magazine. He thought if he ran fast enough, he could like get on the, you know, be fine on the water.
He was certain.
And then he found out that was a cartoon thing. And he had to rethink some stuff. Yeah. And then, yeah, eventually he did attach two little boats to his feet.
He had two fully packed suitcases in each hand.
Yeah.
One in each hand. And overpacked. He was like, okay.
Actually.
Overpacked.
Overpacked.
He was going to be there for like
a couple
of days.
Came in way over the weight. Totally. No, he packed so many different shoes. None
tropical
of them
tropical shirt. Ether tropical shirt. Yeah. And he was like, okay, I'll see you in Hawaii. And then just to watch a fully grown man who wants to be the president of our country run straight into the water at the beach and being like, what's happening?
And
was really sad.
What was really fucked about his suitcases.
Yeah.
One pair of underwear.
I don't know what the plan was.
What's the plan, bud? Exactly.
Yeah.
How are you gonna balance a national budget when you're packing one pair of undies and 5 shirts on a trip?
Yeah.
Who do you think you are?
And only one bathing suit, because it couldn't be that he's just wearing a bunch of bathing suits. No, it was one bathing
only suit. Only one bathing suit. So you're going swimming once in Hawaii after you run across the ocean? Okay, grow up.
It was a pant-length bathing suit, too, which I had never seen.
It was very modest, which I appreciated, besides the fact he was shirtless.
He was shirtless, but he was very modest waist down.
First pleated swimsuit I'd ever seen.
Yeah, that's cool.
First belted men's swimsuit I'd ever seen, too.
Yeah, I've never seen one with a zipper that long. I've never seen one with that many buttons.
No, the zipper was long. I'd never seen one with a zipper. It was the heaviest swimsuit, actually.
Oh, wow.
They had that in the Pencils Down magazine, that it was the heaviest swimsuit known to man. Only
you know
thing
what?
Heavier is the mermaid tail that some girls have to / get to wear when they work at an aquarium.
Was all this, I saw this as in Stepdad magazine as well. This was an ad for this bathing suit. Yeah. Because these idiots will wear anything.
Yeah, I remember that advertisement. It said it weighs as much as 3 carabiners of keys. And then it said, you love your keys? Get this bathing suit.
They love sitting down at a table in a restaurant, taking all their keys out of their pockets and throwing them on the table. Mm-hmm. These freaking stepdads. Mm-hmm. They're as bad as the Cockneys.
It's freaking... I know. Anyway, stay positive. So yeah,
totally.
So Giovanni Pumpkins obviously died running to Hawaii.
Obviously.
And it's okay because his name was not on any of the ballots.
They put it on a couple in Hawaii.
Except California, who seems to include
everybody gets
everyone.
In. That one guy, yeah.
Rocky something, who is like in every year, yeah. And didn't even fill out his bio.
I went to vote at the last election, and I was on the ballot. And I was like, oh, That's thank you, but
No, thank you. Thank you, no thank you.
I had to think about it, yeah, because I was like, I mean, it'd be cool to at least vote for myself, but I don't want to do it. Yeah,
it is a fun way to throw away your vote, especially when you don't want the position.
I just have a lot of stuff going on right now. I don't know if I'd be able to do it right now, but
I don't think you should be senator of California just because of a prank, frankly, I pulled.
Oh, okay. Yeah, thank you for, Well, yeah, then it was funny. It was very funny.
I just had to text in a little number, and they got you on the list.
I had to be in a debate, and they let me have it. It was like that thing with the Bloomberg a couple of years back when they just all teamed up on me, and people
they really
like, reaching
you.
Across the aisle to just make fun of my physical appearance.
To punch you.
They got me good. Yeah, they popped me in the nose. Like, yeah.
Do you remember when they put you in a noogie? I think it was the Libertarians
ganged
up with the Green Party.
Because I passed out. I don't remember a lot of that debate. Why'd you get back? It was shocking. Yeah.
That was C-SPAN's highest watched moments.
It was the only debate where someone got a stone cold stunner. Yeah.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. So yeah, cool. It was on CCTV, which I watched at the gas station screen, and I was like, oh my god, that's Brad. I signed him up for the election.
This must have been funny.
And then it was also on C-SPAN, and I remember it because they were having a town council meeting, and then they said, warning, warning, something actually interesting's happened, we're going to cut to that, and
it was you getting a freaking
pounding, x-ray, something cool's happening.
I was at a gas station watching myself get absolutely beaten up, and then a taxi pulled up to get gas, and I was also on the taxi TV, and they were showing a different part of the debate when I was getting just annihilated with wrestling moves. I don't remember a lot of it, but it's just cool to be a part of the system, yeah.
Was it really cool that someone chose watching you get pounded and smashed into oblivion over playing Snake in the taxi iPad? Was that exciting?
They did. They waited for it to come back around the loop after Mario Lopez was introducing some stuff, and yeah, they just kept watching it, and they didn't even try to play the trivia game. They didn't. People were watching on those little iPads you get at a bar when you don't have to get the server to pay with. And I've been on some of the smallest, chunkiest screens I've ever seen. Just getting my ass beat. Yeah, so that was cool.
Walloped. I saw you on my my microwave touchscreen, and it was very blurry and grainy and tiny. But
you're just familiar enough with it.
I know what it looks like when you're getting beat up. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just got freaking smashed. Mario Lopez said that you were pancaked like a bitch. He said, "Break out the maple syrup."
Which is not. I've never heard him talk that way. Yeah.
It was deeply unprofessional.
Yeah, he's gotten a little loose when he talks about me.
it's because it's with malice.
Yes.
And there's no one else he talks about with malice except on that one animal talent show. I remember there was a dog he talked about a lot like you. It was a two-legged singing hound.
He hated that
dog.
And
he said some pretty off-color shit about it.
It was pretty messed up.
You and that dog, really. And it turned out later he was jealous of the dog. So, I mean, you know, could be in good company. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I got off the plane at the airport. I hear the mayor say, "Welcome to Los Angeles." And I watch this bitch get pummeled. And I walloped, maybe. I forget. But, yeah.
Yeah, right. But either way, it was the mayor. He called you a bitch.
Yeah. Karen, let me have it. Yeah. Which, yeah, I get.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ironic, because I was voting for her when I was voting, but I kind of wish I hadn't done that yet. Yeah. But I'm sure the other one would have let me.
I don't know. I think it's cool. I think you have to donate a lot of money otherwise to get a political candidate to call you a bitch.
That's true. Yeah.
It's a shout out. It is a shout out of sorts if they're shouting at you.
They're shouting at me for sure. I've gotten some of my favorite celebrities to give me what is almost what I would want out of a cameo, but then at the end they just scream at me and show me footage of me getting beat up at the debate. Yeah.
It's true. Mandy Patinkin really gave it to you.
Patinkin, oh my God. This was before I got off the plane. I was on the plane and I'm watching that fat little screen that plays JetBlue TV Live. And then I see an older man in a beard. I'm like, is that Mandy Patinkin?
I hope he isn't going to speak ill of my character.
Yeah. I'm clicking the map to see how long we have to the landing. And
instead of seeing that you're flying over Kansas.
Because the captain has come on, so it like pauses the screen. And the cabinet's just saying, yeah, everybody watch this. And then he plays the Mandy Patinkin footage on everyone's screen. And then a flight attendant comes out and acts out the footage like they do with a safety demonstration. And this is my parents' plane. And it's like, yeah.
I was going to say. Yeah. So it was your brother acting it out.
It was my brother's. It was my dad announcing it. Yeah. But that's, I don't know. Yeah, we were just, you know, we like to joke with each other, I guess, even though I've really asked them to stop.
Yeah. Even if you beg them to stop.
Beg them on my hands and knees. Yeah. And they said, put your seatbelt back on. I said, like, yeah.
Speaking of the world's bullying campaign against you.
Sure.
Do you want to hear the vocab of the week? Words I would love incredibly to. Frail.
Absolutely.
So this week's word is corvourer. And a corvourer is someone who eats the core of the apple.
Just the core.
Just the core of the apple. Exactly. And then they kind of hand you an apple that has been hollowed out. So if I could read this quote from Donald Faison of Scrubs fame.
Of course.
I looked that corvourer in the eyes and I said, fuck you, Brad.
Yeah, that was tough to hear on my favorite podcast, recapping Scrubs. Because I don't think I've even done that. I don't think I've eaten an apple core exclusively, but... Yeah.
Are you sure? Yeah. You've got a long tongue like an anteater, so that's true. I believed him.
No, that is true. Even if I had done it, and even if it didn't sound so much like a slur, I guess I wish that he hadn't brought it up when they were, you know, talking about the Scrubs episode.
You wish he had taken you aside. And
I would like to have been warned.
Poor Vowler.
Yes.
Fuck you. Yes. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
This was this week, and it's that election was like 4 years ago.
On Scrubs for Scrubs.
Yeah. Yeah. People love that video. I don't know. It's cool. It's kind of cool. Yeah.
It's kind of, you are, I mean, it is fame of a sort.
It's, yeah, it's almost infamy. It is infamy.
It's almost infamy.
It's close.
Except you're getting so pounded.
Getting pile driven. Yeah. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think once one of them started doing it, they all kind of realized they could do it. And the moderator.
Well, they realized.
If nothing else, the moderator should be stopping this. And they had run out of time for their parts anyway.
Oh, you mean when the political
debate... Yeah, I think they should be like, please, please, it's his turn.
Yeah, and it became a not even clever roast.
Yeah, it was a roast while they were beating me up. And they, luckily, I yelled, is there a ref in the house? And someone stood up and tried to, he had a whistle and a striped shirt. Unfortunately, he was just someone that worked for Foot Locker and he couldn't actually do anything to stop it.
I know, he had no real authority. I always get confused by that. I'll be in a Foot Locker and I'll be like, oh, you have the power to end a children's soccer game. And they say, ma'am, no, I'm here to sell you Adidas.
Adidas.
Or Adidas, depending on...
I'm in the Foot Locker penalty box so often, and then I realize I can just go home. Like, I don't need to... I didn't even do anything that wrong. I can just get out of here.
You can
just
leave. As long as you don't wait until the mall closes.
Well, I get out of the box, and then that big gate's down. I'm like, well, I guess I have to sleep in this Foot Locker again. Make a bed out of shoes.
Well, actually, on that note, I should really let you leave the Foot Locker you're in.
Yeah, I'm going to go try to shake the gate again. I might be able to get out. Yeah.
Yeah, jiggle it a little. Maybe this time it'll be different. Yeah.
There's probably a back door. I'll check.
Okay. Well, call me if you have to sleep in the Foot Locker.
I'll just assume if I don't call you, then I am going to sleep in the Foot Locker, because I think that's more likely.
Okay. I might be in the ladies' Foot Locker, but that'll be tomorrow. Because I'm going to yell at the guy who works there like he's a referee.
Oh, cool. Yeah. You're going to get right in his face.
I'm going to say, wrong call, when he, like, gives a woman, like, a size 9, but I think she's a size 8.
Yeah. You demand a recount when she puts her foot back in that little measurer.
Exactly. I do, I'll tell you this before you, because I can hear the train gate rattling as it comes
I
down.
Really wish we had stopped just a couple minutes before.
I
but
do
yeah,
a lot of
on.
Instant replays. When I'm in the lady Foot Locker, I film everything, and then I play it back in slow motion, whether or not they want to see it.
And you write on it. Yeah, you circle stuff, and you write little lines. Yeah.
Which is just on the screen of my extremely old camcorder. So old that it's called a camcorder.
It is, yeah. It was the last camcorder before they became just cameras.
Okay, well, I'm going to let you skedaddle out of that mall like you're in the most dangerous game. And frankly, probably lose.
It's one of the most dangerous games, and I think I'm not going to make it, yeah. But it's, you know.
Okay.
Great to talk up.
Run like the wind, buddy.